creamos hace muchos años nuestros programas Máster en Inglés Profesional. Programas que en 5 meses cambian por completo o de una forma muy notable el dominio del inglés, su dominio del inglés. Son 2 las modalidades. La primera es el MIP, el Máster en Inglés Profesional Full Time. Dedicación plena. Está diseñado para ayudar a los jóvenes o los recién licenciados a entrar con fuerza en el mercado laboral, con el inglés resuelto. La segunda modalidad es el EMIP, el Executive Master en Inglés Profesional, diseñada para personas de alto nivel profesional cuyo inglés puede terminar siendo un freno para el feliz desarrollo de su carrera profesional. Confíe en nosotros la solución de su inglés. Confíe en Vaughan, en los mejores. Más información en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Últimos días para conseguir tu máster de inglés profesional con una oferta inigualable. Consulta condiciones en grupovaughan.com o llamando al 911-335-833. ¿Todavía no has hecho tu prueba de nivel? Infórmate sin compromiso. 911-335-833. Consulta también el Executive Master en Inglés Profesional, disponible en Valencia, Barcelona y Madrid. Si tu objetivo es poner en marcha un proyecto y alcanzar el éxito como líder de equipos, Richard Vaughan y Javier Fernández Aguado presentan la 3ª edición del seminario Emprender y Liderar, las claves del éxito.
Liderar es el gran reto, el gran desafío del directivo actual.
¿Posees los atributos adecuados para emprender con éxito?
El 17 de marzo, en Áncora, Madrid, calle Trafalgar 6, venta exclusiva online. Entra en grupovaughan.com/seminario. El Máster en Inglés Profesional te ofrece este programa.
Hello, hello everybody. Welcome to the Drive Time Show. It's Monday.
Hello, Mr. Gale.
Hello, hello. Hi there. It's Monday. We have a nice program for you today. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for deciding to invest some time with us today on this Monday afternoon, the 5th of March. The 5th of March, everybody. Today we're going to talk about, well, our history section. We're going to look at the hula hoop. Did you have one of these, Tino? The hula hoop? Do you have one now? The hula hoop. It's good exercise as well, but the hula hoop was patented on this day in 1963, which seems a little late. El año 63. I thought it was much older than that, but the hula hoop got a patent today in 1963 by Wham-O. Wham-O was the company. And we'll talk a little bit about that. They also patented a few other famous toys. We'll have a look at that. And we also, oh my gosh, Elvis Presley made his first TV appearance. He made his TV debut on this day in 1955. And we'll also have a look at some trending trending topic today. People are talking about a swimmer in Australia, a swimmer who has smashed a world record for his age group for the 50-meter freestyle. But he is 99 years old, con 99 años. A 99-year-old man has set a record for his age category. Okay, for his age category. There you go. He'll turn 100 in April. And anyway, we'll talk a little bit about him and that record. And we've got, oh my gosh, well, we've got plenty to talk about. Lots of grammar, pronunciation challenges, all of these things, lots to cover. So let's get things started, everybody. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time. Smashing.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
right, everybody. Welcome to the Drive Time program. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for deciding to invest a little time with us here at on Vaughn Radio, the Drive Time show. And we do have lots to talk about, lots to cover. Why don't we begin with our interactive section the way we do every single day, como todos los días, right, Dino? Every day we do this. I'm talking about the Twitter translation.
Translation.
The Twitter translation, everybody. Here we are. Aquí estamos. I'm going to give you a sentence in Spanish, and I want you to say it in English. Actually, tweet me. Mándame un tweet. Send me a tweet with this sentence in English. If people want to participate, Tino, how can they find me on Twitter?
Tuiteanos, arroba imkilemillar, o lo que es lo mismo, arroba imkilemillar.
Lo que es lo mismo, IM, Kilemillar.
Claro.
Eso es. Yeah, all right, okay. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Oscurece pronto en invierno.
¡Qué susto!
Oscurece pronto en invierno. It's true, right? It's true, Tina. But now the days are getting longer now. But generally speaking, in winter, well, it's true. Que oscurece pronto en invierno. Yeah. Y más tarde, o más temprano, bueno, sí, no, más, sí, más tarde en verano, pero pronto en invierno. Okay, so let me know how to say that in English. And while you're thinking about it, how about a little bit of translation? We do this every day. People like this part of the show, although we didn't do it on Friday because we had an interview all day. All show, so we didn't get to this, but let's take a step into the warm-up gym.
The warm-up gym.
Yeah, the warm-up gym, everybody. Here we are. Aquí estamos. Calentando un poquito la cosa, ¿no? All right. If you want to participate, just out loud, en voz alta. Yell it out. Don't worry if you're in the office, in the car. It doesn't matter. Right? So, ¿cómo se dice en inglés? Tú sabes muy bien lo que quiero. You know very well what I want. You know very well what I want. Tú sabes muy bien lo que quiero. Number two, no tengo ni idea. I have no idea. Es que no tengo ni idea. I have no idea. No idea. Number three, everybody. ¿Dónde conociste a mi hija? Where did you meet my daughter? Where did you meet? Now, conocer por la primera vez, to meet. Conozco a Tino. I know Tino. I met Tino years ago, hace años. I met him years ago. He met me years ago. We met each other years ago. We know each other. He knows me. I know him. We know each other. We have known each other for years. We've known each other since the day we met. It sounds like a redundancy, and people at home are saying, claro, hombre, claro, eso tiene sentido. But it's important to know the difference between meet and know. So to meet, conocer por la primera vez, ¿vale? Okay. Number four. ¿Sabes mi mujer algo de esto? ¿Sabe mi mujer? Perdón, claro, claro. Oye, ¿sabe mi mujer algo de esto? Does my wife know anything about this? Does my wife know anything about this?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. No sé. Okay, number five. Prometí mantenerlo en secreto. I promised to keep it a secret. To keep it a secret. Mantenerlo en secreto. To keep it a secret. We don't say keep it in secret or by secret. We just say to keep it a secret. I promised to keep it a secret. Number six. Pero podías habérmelo dicho a mí. Pero podías habérmelo dicho a mí.
I know where you live.
Well, but you could have told me. Podías habérmelo dicho a mí. You could have. Could have. We can also contract it and say, could have. You could have. You could have. You could have. You should have. You would have. You could have. You could have. You could have. You could have told me. Come on. You could have told me. Number seven. Pero la decisión no era definitiva. But the decision wasn't final. Final, we say. We don't normally say, was it the definitive decision? No. We normally say, was it the final decision? Final answer? Final answer? Okay. Number eight. Number eight. Tus informes deberían ser concisos. Your reports should be concise. Deberían ser concisos.
Podemos poner un texto.
Claro. We can put a text. Your reports should be concise. Your reports should be concise. Number nine. Has tenido mucha suerte. You've been very lucky. Has tenido suerte. Tener suerte. We say to be lucky. We don't say to have luck. You've had a lot of luck. Nah, you've been lucky. You've been, pero mucha suerte, eh? You've been very lucky. You've been, you have been, you've been very lucky. You've been very lucky.
Hombre.
Bueno. Number 10. ¿Cuántos años tenía cuando eso pasó? ¿Cuántos años tenías cuando eso pasó? How old were you when that happened? ¿Cuántos años tenías? How old were you? Right? How old were you to be? How old were you when that happened? When that happened, how old were you? Let's do two more. How about two more, Tino? Because I'm feeling generous today. All right, okay. Number 11. Siento que no pudieras quedarte. I'm sorry you couldn't stay. I'm sorry you couldn't stay.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You had to go, right? I'm sorry. Lo siento, pero es así. I'm sorry you couldn't stay. Number 12. This is our last one. This is the final sentence. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Te acostumbrarás a mi estilo. You'll get used to my style. Te acostumbrarás. You will get used to my style. Acostumbrarse, ¿no? To get used to. You'll get used to my style. So notice we have here, to get used to, acostumbrarse a algo, to get used to something, and then to be, estar acostumbrado a algo. I am used to it. I am used to Spanish food. I like Spanish food. I am used to it. Estoy acostumbrado a ello. I'm used to it. I'm used to it. I'm used to eating it. If we're going to use the verb, we have to use the ing, the gerund form. ING, right? I'm used to eating it. I'm used to cook. I'm somewhat used to cooking it. I'm still getting used to cooking it. I'm used to Spanish music. I'm used to listening to Spanish music. I'm used to hearing Spanish music on the radio. Right? So we have to get used to and to be used to. Before you can be used to something, you have to go through the temporary transition period of getting accustomed to something, getting used to something. And then we have a completely different form of used to, which is the past form. Used to plus infinitive. Subject, used to, infinitive. I used to live in Canada. I used to have a Nokia phone, but now I have a Samsung. I used to drive a car every day, but now I don't. I don't drive a car. I used to drive a car, but now I don't. Okay. So there we have different forms of used to and worth practicing. All right. Hey, why don't we take a look at what people are talking about in the online world, everybody? How about today's trending topic?
Trending topics.
Trending topics, everybody. The trending topic, let's see. A 99-year-old swimmer has broken a world record in Australia. It seems he has smashed a world record for his age group in the 50-meter freestyle. So the freestyle means that you can do whatever style you want, right? You can swim in any way you want, but they typically do the crawl. I think they always do the crawl because it's considered the fastest way to swim. The guy's name is George Corones. And he swam the 50 meters in 56.12 seconds at an official event for 100 to 104-year-old people. And he beat the previous record set in 2014 by 35 seconds. It'll now have to be verified by the sport's governing body. Now, he was eligible for the record because he turns 100 in April. So he's not 100 yet, but he's competing in that category. All right, because he turns 100 in April. It was an exemplary swim for me, he said. Well balanced, and I was ready to hit the wall. And at the end, very hard with my hand, he told the BBC. He said he was overwhelmed by the roaring crowd. Roaring crowd. The audience, right? Roaring. Wow, cheering and roaring. On the Gold Coast on Wednesday, the event, which he was the only guy swimming. He was racing against the clock, right? He was racing against the clock, and it had been specifically staged, specifically organized for him to challenge for the record. And they said, the local swim team said, we've just witnessed history in the making. Now, Mr. Corones is from Brisbane, and he says he was a very good swimmer in his youth, but he quit. He quit swimming during the Second World War. And he didn't swim again until he was 80 years old. Yeah. So he said, I couldn't do any swim of any description, he said, until I retired. I started swimming again for exercise, he said. And he said it has undeniably changed him physically. He says, on average, he swims laps 3 times a week, and he also goes to a gym to get exercise. And he attributes his success. He says, the reason I was so successful is because of the pace. He says, I'm able to find a pace, marcar un ritmo, right? To find a pace, to set a pace. He says, my first dozen strokes were well balanced, and the trick is just to carry it on progressively, putting a little bit of increasing effort in each stroke. He says, I did that until the last 10 meters, and I knew I was tired and done, but I went on without any disturbance. So there you go. We have a world record for the 100-year-old swimmer for the 50 meters. And I'm not entirely surprised that it comes from Australia. They love their swimming in Australia. They're very good at swimming. They're known for it, right? When you watch the Summer Olympics or any of these events, you always see the Australians doing very well in the swimming pool. They're very good at that. Okay. Anyway, hey, we're going to push on. We're going to move forward, everybody. How about a little challenge? This is one that we do every day. I like it because I consider it the best challenge for the interrogative form. Let's go ahead with our interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge.
All right, everybody, the interrogative challenge. I'm going to give you the answer, yo la respuesta, y tú la pregunta. En casa, o en tu coche, o donde sea. Wherever you may be, okay? En voz alta. Okay, okay, yeah, woo! Okay, number one. Yes, I've been to Rome. Have you ever been to Rome? Rome. Have you ever been to Rome?
Mamma
yes.
Mia.
Now we say, have you ever been to? No, see if they've been in. So, you know, been to. Have you ever been to Rome? Yes, I've been to Rome. Number two, I visited the south of Spain. Which part of Spain did you visit? The south. El norte, no. The south. Which part of Spain did you visit? The south of Spain. Number three, I carried it for about 100 meters. How far did you carry it? Hey, how far did you carry it? About 100 meters. Number four, I understood about half the speech. How much of the speech did you understand? How much of the speech did you understand? About half of it. Number five, Peter turned the machine on. Who turned the machine on? Hey, who turned the machine on? Oh, it was Peter. Peter turned the machine on. Number six, nothing will happen if you miss the plane. What will happen if I miss the plane? What will happen if I miss the plane? Number
six. Try it again.
All right, number six. I need about 3 more hours. How much more time do you need? How much more time do you need? About 3 more hours. Number seven. These books are Nancy's. Whose books are these? These. Whose books? Whose books? We don't say whose are these books. No. Whose books are these? Number eight. I hid it under the bed. Where did you hide it? Hey, where did you hide it? I hid it under the bed. Number nine, I've been teaching English for 12 years. How long have you been teaching English? And finally, number 10, Michael Jordan is 2 meters, 6 centimeters. How tall is Michael Jordan? Oh, he's 2 meters, 6 centimeters, right? Yeah, he's a tall guy. Okay, there you go. Well done. Well done, everybody. I know it's a challenge, right? I know it's not easy, that exercise, right? Forming the question. And we saw here an interesting question word. We were practicing with the question word, whose, de quién es el boli? Whose pen? There's a very common mistake I hear all the time, which is people saying, whose is this pen? But no, we should say, whose pen is this? Hey, whose pen is this? Whose class is this? Whose program is this? Whose books are these? Right? So the structure is always the same. Whose, and then directly followed by the object. Whose pen? Whose class? Whose books? Whose show is this? Whose computer monitor is this? Is this, right? Okay. Okay, there you go. Now, we have another minute before we have to take a break, but I want to remind you of our challenge today. We have people writing in. A lot of people writing in. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Oscurece pronto en invierno. Now, some people are making a mistake with the word pronto. Oscurece. Also, people are making some mistakes with the idea of oscurece. Because we have the verb. We have the verb here to get, right? So, well, I don't want to give it away. But we'll talk about this in a couple of minutes. We have a lot of people writing in. Ruben Garcia, he has a pretty good answer. But, you know, I'm not going to review these yet. We're going to take a short break and we're going to come back and we'll have a look at this. And we're also going to look at our history section. We're going to go back to 1963 and talk about one of Tino's favorite toys, the hula hoop, which was patented on this day in 1963, the hula hoop. So we'll have a look at that. Yeah, so is. In a few minutes, right? In the next part of our show. We're going to take a real quick break. I'll be back in a couple minutes. Whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Quedando atrás. ¿Sabes que te estás quedando atrás? Esos chavales que acaban de entrar en la empresa ya te llevan kilómetros de distancia. ¿Y por qué? Por el maldito inglés con lo que tú has sido en la empresa. ¿Y ahora te estás quedando atrás? Como no te pongas las pilas, pronto tendrás a uno de esos niñatos sentado en tu silla.
Últimos días para conseguir tu máster de inglés profesional con una oferta inigualable. Consulta condiciones en grupobaugan.com o llamando al 911-335-833. Disponible en Valencia, Barcelona y Madrid.
Miguel Indurain, Ruth Beitia, Jorge Lorenzo, Carolina Marín, Marc Márquez, Mireia Belmonte, Rafa Nadal, Garbiñe Muguruza. What do they have in common? They're champions. Why are they champions? Because they did not make excuses. Miguel Indurain, 5 Tour de France. Why did he win them? Because he wanted to. He practiced relentlessly, day in, day out. Hail, rain, sleet, and snow. By himself, alone, on the mountain, in terrible conditions, because he wanted to win. He practiced. He had great coaches. He had great teachers. So do the rest of those Spanish champions. Why am I talking to you about this? Because if you want to become a champion of English, we have the solution for you. We have the master's program, but most of all, we have the best teachers, the best coaches who will solve your problem. Is it easy? No. Is it difficult? Yes. Is it hard? It's very hard. But as John Fitzgerald Kennedy said, we don't do things because they are easy. We do them because they are hard. So this is a 5-month program. A hard, long, difficult program. But it's also fun because all of these champions love what they do. They love what they do mostly because they had a coach, a teacher, and a technician who helped them, who motivated them. That's what we do. We don't teach you. We motivate you. We have the best motivational teachers in Spain. If you want to avail of them, come to us. We have the best motivational coaching program for English in Spain, and it's called The Masters. So let me repeat the names. Miguel Indurain, Ruth Beitia, Jorge Lorenzo, Carolina Marín, Marc Marquez, Mireia Belmonte, Rafa Nadal, Garbiñe Muguruza. World champions, the best at what they do because they work hard and they have great motivators behind them. If you want to become a champion of English, come to Vaughan, come to Balgan and do our master's program. Good luck.
El inglés es imprescindible, tanto para encontrar el primer trabajo como para subir en la organización. Si no lo dominas, tendrás cada vez menos oportunidades conforme pase el tiempo. En Vaughan somos conscientes de esto y por ello creamos hace muchos años nuestros programas Máster en Inglés Profesional. Programas que en 5 meses cambian por completo o de una forma muy notable el dominio del inglés, su dominio del inglés. Son 2 las modalidades. La primera es el MIP, el Máster en Inglés Profesional Full Time. Dedicación plena. Está diseñado para ayudar a los jóvenes o los recién licenciados a entrar con fuerza en el mercado laboral, con el inglés resuelto. La segunda modalidad es el EMIP, el Executive Master en Inglés Profesional, diseñada para personas de alto nivel profesional cuyo inglés puede terminar siendo un freno para el feliz desarrollo de su carrera profesional. Confía en nosotros la solución de su inglés. Confía en Vaughan, en los mejores. Más información en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
¿Tener las cualidades necesarias para el emprendimiento? ¿Consideras que estás liderando a tu equipo? ¿A tu empresa? Si tu objetivo es poner en marcha un proyecto y alcanzar el éxito como líder de equipos, Richard Vaughan y Javier Fernández Aguado presentan la tercera edición del seminario Emprender y Liderar. Las claves del éxito. Directivos, emprendedores, líderes de equipos, personas interesadas en el liderazgo. Esta es vuestra oportunidad. Sábado 17 de marzo, en Áncora, Madrid, calle Trafalgar 6, venta exclusiva online. Entra ahora en grupovaughan.com/seminario.
Everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to the Drive Time Show. It is time for our second half hour. And why don't we begin with an expression? How about that, Tino? How about today's expression of the day?
Expression of the day.
Our expression of the day today is to hit the nail on the head. To hit the nail on the head. So we have the nail, el clavo, and we're talking about hitting the nail on the head. Now, the head is the tip of the nail. So to hit the nail on the head, which is to say something exactly right. And you say that in Spanish, too. You say, es que lo has clavado. Con eso lo has clavado. You nailed it. We often say that in English, too. You nailed it. Or you hit the nail on the head. You said it exactly right. You said it perfectly. You really hit the nail on the head with that, Tino. Right? Great comment. You hit the nail on the head. Okay. That's our expression of the day. Let's take a look at people's responses on Twitter. A lot of people are writing in today. The sentence was, oscurece pronto en invierno. And Jesus writes in and says, it gets dark early in the winter. Except when you live in either the Arctic or the Antarctic Pole, where it is nighttime 6 months. Well, 6 months to come, he says. But yeah, that's true. It depends if you're in the, in the summer, it gets dark later. In the winter, it gets dark earlier, but you have the seasons being reversed, right? Nacho says, I'm reading the book Fire and Fury, and I came across a nice expression. He shot from the hip. Yeah, to shoot from the hip, I guess, is to say something directly. A good one, a good expression, Nacho. But Raquel says it gets dark soon in winter. And Juanra says it gets dark early in winter. So I want to talk about the difference between soon and early. The correct answer here for pronto, oscurece pronto en invierno, it gets dark early in winter. Now, soon would be more like temprano. Or, pronto. Soon can be pronto, actually. And here we, oscurece pronto en invierno, it gets dark. We would say early, though. Because early, or we could say also, Tino, couldn't we? Oscurece temprano en invierno. And I think that gives a better example. Temprano is more like early, whereas pronto is more soon. But here you kind of say, you could say pronto in this case as well. But it depends on your point of reference. Like today, soon we will do, soon I'm going to talk about history. I'm going to talk about history soon. Am I going to talk about it early? No. I'm going to talk about it roughly at the same time as always. We could say, I'm going home soon, but am I going home early? No. I'm going home at the same time as always. But am I going home soon? Relatively speaking, in about an hour, I'll go home. Is that soon? I don't know. So soon means the amount of time between now and the occurrence is small. Whereas early means the amount of time between the occurrence and the normal time for occurrence is small, right? So early refers to your comparison to the normal, whereas soon refers to your comparison between now and the occurrence, right? So soon I'm going to talk about history, but I'm not talking about it early. I'm talking about it roughly at the same time as usual. Yeah, soon Tino is going to go for a cup of coffee, I think. Are you going to go for a coffee soon? Tino's going to go get a coffee pretty soon. Is he going early? Not really. He usually goes at this time. I'm going to have dinner early tonight. I think I am, because I'm already kind of hungry, Tino. I'm going to have dinner early tonight. Am I going to have dinner soon? No. I still have to do the whole rest of the show. So hopefully you see the difference between soon and early. And our friend Anne says, does it get dark early in the winter? Yes, it does. It gets dark pretty soon in the winter, says Carmen. But be careful with that one. Early would be the correct answer here. Maria says, night falls early in winter. Ooh, night falls early. Nacho, it gets dark early in winter. In winter, get dusk early. Now, dusk. Yeah, the idea of the sky getting darker, that occurs at dusk. We say D-U-S-K, dusk. Yeah. Okay. All right, there you go, folks. We have the Twitter translation today. Oscurece pronto en invierno. It gets dark early in winter. Let's go ahead with our history section. Let's see what let's see what happened on this day. Okay, let's go back and have a look at this day. First of all, 1963, on this day in history.
Today in history.
Well, it was this day in 1963 that the hula hoop, a swiveling, spinning toy that became a huge fad across America when it was first marketed in Wham-O Company in 1958, is patented. Now, it was patented in 1963, but it became popular in 1958. And it was patented by the company's co-founder, a guy named Arthur Mellon. He had a nickname, un apodo, which was Spud. They estimated that 25 million hula hoops were sold in the first 4 months of production alone. That's amazing, right? 25 million. Can you imagine? So, hey, there's a new toy. Have you heard about this thing called the hula hoop? This new toy? Incredible. And they sold 25 million of them. In 1948, two friends, this guy Arthur Mellon and Richard Knurr, they founded a company in California to sell a slingshot that they created to shoot falcons used for hunting. Now, the company's name, Whammo, is apparently from the sound that slingshots made. Whammo. Well, they called it Whammo. Whammo. Now, Whammo eventually branched out from slingshot. Now, slingshot is like you have the toy with the Y-shaped stick and the elastic band connecting the two sort of prongs of it, and you pull that back and you put a stone or a pellet or something in, you pull it back and let it go and it shoots out. Right? Whammo. And anyway, that's called a slingshot. But they eventually branched out. Right? They branched out from slingshots selling boomerangs and other sporting goods and toys. Now, the first hit toy, get this, a flying disc known as the Frisbee, debuted in 1957. The Frisbee was originally marketed under a different name, the Pluto Platter, in an effort to capitalize on America's fascination with UFOs. And I remember reading about, talking about this story, the invention of the Frisbee. But these two inventors, Molina and Knurr, were inspired to develop the hula hoop after they saw a wooden hoop that Australian children spun around their waists during gym class. And Whammo began producing a plastic version of the hoop called the hula after the gyrating, the sort of hip gyrating Hawaiian dance of the same name, the hula dance. Hula hoop, good name. Whammo started to produce this version and they started selling them in Southern California. And doing very well. The hula hoop took off from there. The enormous popularity of the hula hoop, the real peak in popularity, though, was quite short-lived. And within a matter of months, the masses were on to the next big thing. But the hula hoop never faded away completely, and it still has fans today. According to Ripley's Believe It or Not, in April of 2004, a performer from a circus in Boston simultaneously spun 100 hoops around her body. Earlier the same year, in January, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, two people in Tokyo managed to spin the world's largest hoop, 13 feet 4 inches around their waists at least three times each. Now, following the hula hoop, Whammo continued to produce a bunch of other sort of wacky and strange novelty items and toys, including the Super Ball, Water Wiggle, Silly String, Slip and Slide, and the Hacky Sack. Pretty cool. Pretty cool, you know, because there's something special about inventing something simple. Something simple, but just hasn't been done yet. And it seems that's what they... That what they had done. I mean, the hacky sack. Did you have one of those, Tino? A hacky sack? It's like a little, you know, like a little ball, like full of beans or something, and you could bounce it up and down off your leg. I was never any good at it, but I had one. Also, something else. Okay, just completely changing gears here. Well, actually, before we move on, I'll just say that I think it is interesting. Like I said, inventing something simple, doing something simple, but for whatever reason, no one has done it yet or no one has patented it yet. And that's really, is like music. You know, you look at bands that get really, really famous. Very often they have a simple, their songs are often very simple, or they sound very simple. And you say, why didn't I think of that? That invention. Why didn't I think of that? It's so simple. The hula hoop. And it wasn't until the 60s that it was patented. Anyway, back in 1955 on this day, Elvis Presley made his TV debut, right? Su estreno, his debut, D-E-B-U-T, his debut, when he appeared on the weekly TV show Louisiana Hayride. And this show came from Shreveport, Louisiana, the Shreveport Auditorium in Shreveport, Louisiana. So Elvis making his debut, 1955, the king of rock and roll, of course, would go on to become one of the greats of all time. Elvis Presley, yeah. All right, hey, let's move on. Why don't we push forward a little bit and see what people... How about some weird stuff? There are some weird things happening around the world. Let's take a look at today's weird news. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for today's weird news. Weird news. Here we are, everybody. Weird news. China. Weird news coming from China. Who would have thought? An interesting story as Chinese workers build a railway station. Get this. Chinese workers have built a railway station in 9 hours. Una parada de trenes. Una estación entera. En 9 horas. An entire station. They used 7 trains and 23 diggers, 1,500 people, to complete the huge construction project, a train station that was built in 9 hours in China. Now, it was organized with, they say, military precision. The project, which reportedly took place 2 weekends ago, it was completed in the southern Fujian province, Fujian. 7 trains, like I said, 23 diggers were used in the project for the Nanlong Railway Station in the southern Chinese city of Longyang. The workers were split into 7 units to take on 7 simultaneous tasks. And the high-speed Nanlong Railway Line is the line itself is still under construction, is and expected to be completed by the end of 2018. Around 150, a little over 150 miles long, it'll provide the main transport link between the southeast of China and central China. The railway is designed to support trains traveling at speeds of 124 miles per hour. And the project is one of a series of impressive infrastructure projects completed by China in recent years. 2 years ago, they produced the largest radio telescope, searching for signals from stars and galaxies. It measured at 500 meters in diameter, the radio telescope. So half a kilometer in diameter, this giant telescope that was launched into space. Sorry, not launched into space, but simply used on Earth to observe space, excuse me. Now, it took 5 years and 129 million pounds to complete this observatory in Puerto Rico, where they have installed this giant telescope. So they're doing a great job with these mega projects. Imagine building a train station in 9 hours. That's unbelievable. Coordinated, very, very carefully coordinated work there. All right, let's see what people are saying. Well, we have people writing in, still writing in about our Twitter translation. I already gave out the answer. Oscurece pronto en invierno. It gets dark early, we should say. Now, Jordy says promptly. We wouldn't really say promptly here. Do it promptly means do it, like, do it right away. Enseguida. Do it promptly. Do it soon. Do it quickly or promptly, we could say. All right. Anyway, let's push forward. Why don't we go ahead and take a look at our paragraph? How about that? How about today's paragraph of the day?
Paragraph of the day.
All right, it's time for the paragraph of the day. And our paragraph today, the way this works, as always, I'm going to read it out loud. And we'll also look at the Spanish version. Okay? People often ask me, what do successful entrepreneurs all have in common? What is it that makes them different? Each time I'm asked that question, I respond with exactly the same answer. Successful entrepreneurs are those that have passion for their business and the money to survive their mistakes. I've occasionally seen success happen without sufficient funding, but I've never once seen it happen without passion. I think that's true. Frecuentemente la gente me pregunta. People often ask me. People frequently ask me. People often ask me. What do successful entrepreneurs all have in common? ¿Qué es lo que los empresarios con éxito tienen en común? Los empresarios, businessmen or emprendedores, really, entrepreneurs. What do they have in common? Each time I'm asked that question, I respond with exactly the same answer. Cada vez que me hacen esa pregunta, respondo con la misma respuesta. I respond with the same answer, with exactly. I respond with exactly the same answer. Successful entrepreneurs, los empresarios con éxito, son aquellos que sienten pasión por su negocio y tienen el dinero necesario para sobrevivir a sus errores. Successful entrepreneurs are those that have a passion for their business and the money to survive their mistakes. Sobrevivir, to survive their mistakes. I've occasionally seen it happen without sufficient funding, but never once seen it happen without passion. Ocasionalmente he visto éxito sin fondos, pero ni una sola vez he visto que ocurra sin pasión. It's true. Right? It's true, Tino. You gotta have passion. You gotta have that spark and that drive if you're gonna make it work. All right. Hey, why don't we quickly, we just have a few minutes left. Let's take a look at today's pronunciation.
What did you say?
I speak Spanish.
No. I speak Spanish.
I speak Spanish.
No, I speak Spanish.
I speak Spanish.
Very good.
Pronunciation,
everybody. Today we're going to practice having, excuse me, let me clear my throat, having, and we don't say having, no, have, having. Remember, the H in English is softer. It's not like the jamón jabugo, the la J. It's not quite the same. It's softer. Imagine we're clearing, we're cleaning a window, limpiando cristales, no? Ear. All right? So we're blowing out air, having, but having a, we don't normally say having. I'm having a ball. Me lo estoy pasando pipa. I'm having a ball. No. Me lo estoy pasando pipa. We say I'm having a ball. I'm having a good time. Lo están pasando muy mal en este momento. They're having a difficult time at the moment.
This is exhausting.
Yeah. En este momento, at the moment, we say. We don't say at this moment. We say at the moment. They're having a difficult time at the moment. Va a tener un bebé pronto. She's having a baby soon. Yeah. She's She's having a baby soon. Vamos a hacer una fiesta el sábado que viene. ¿Vale? We're having a party. We're having a party next Saturday. We're going to have a party, but we're having a. We're having a. We're having a. We link it together. Having a. We're having a. Van a reunirse sobre ello el martes. They're having a meeting about it on Tuesday. They're having a meeting. They're having a meeting about it on Tuesday. Le van a sacar una muela el viernes. She's having a tooth out on Friday. Wow. She's having a tooth out on Friday. Va a venir un albañil para estudiar las posibilidades. Albañil. I'm having a builder over to look at the possibilities. I'm having a builder over to look at the possibilities. Okay. All right, there you go, everybody. That was our pronunciation. We're just about out of time. So I will leave it at that for today because we're gonna take a break. But when we come back, well, I'm finished with this program, but I'm going to come back in a few minutes with the Inglés Online TVE program. Inglés Online TVE. And today we're in class number 40. And for this program, you can also find us. You can find me online on YouTube, and I'll do a review of the content in case you missed it on Channel 2 this morning. I'll do a review of all of that content, and we'll review class number 41. I'll review all of that content. And you can find the actual shows as well on the YouTube channel, Inglés Online TVE. I'm going to finish there, but I'll be back in a couple minutes with that program. So I hope you'll join me. All right. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Gracias, Kathy.
I'm here to tell you about the EMIP.
Alberto,
what's the EMIP? Well, in case you don't know what it is, the EMIP is our Master in Inglés Profesional for the evenings. Now, we know not everybody can dedicate all day to improving their English, and some of you have busy schedules, which is why we have an evening master's program. This way, you can keep advancing in your job and keep improving your English at the same time. More than 500 hours of English, both in class and out of class, will really help you master